Welcome to the Doubles Only Tennis Podcast, where you learn the best doubles strategies to improve your game and win more matches. I'm your host, Will Bocek. This podcast, my website, and my weekly newsletter all focus on the goal of better understanding the sport of doubles and helping players like you improve faster through actionable advice that you can use in your very next match. My goal is to provide the best doubles strategy resources in the world. And to do that, I study, analyze, and work with players at every level of the game, all the way up to the ATP and WTA tours. If you enjoy this podcast, I've created double strategy products that go even deeper if you want to take your doubles knowledge to the next level. At the end of this episode, I'll explain more about them, or if you want to learn more now, go to thetennistribe.com/products. Here's today's episode. You're about to hear my conversation with Will Bloomberg from the Dallas Open. Will is the number 110 ranked ATP doubles player, at least at the time of this conversation. He ends up making the finals in Dallas, losing a very close match, 10-8 in the third set tiebreaker, and his ranking improved to 93. So he is on the rise right now and definitely somebody to keep an eye on throughout the year, because I feel like he's playing at a very high level, much higher than number 93 in the world. But in this conversation, we talk about in-match adjustments. He talks about why he and his partner switched return sides after the first set. I also asked him for advice during 10-point tiebreakers. How do you pick up your energy and play well during those pressure moments? We talk a little bit about practice. He has a specific game that he likes to play a lot during practice, during tournaments. We also talk about how to adjust with different partnerships. So he played with 9 different partners last year and had to make a lot of adjustments. So he talks a little bit about that. And then I ask him for some advice on net play strategy. This conversation was recorded during the launch of the Net Play Strategy Masterclass. So I asked him about that, and he shares some advice that he has been giving to his fiance as well as his mom, who sound like they are club level doubles players as well. So that will be helpful for you. And then he kind of differentiates between the body forehand and body backhand serve. So this will kind of depend on your skill level if you have the capability to hit both of those locations. But if you do, he does have some really good advice for that. And then, of course, at the end, we talk about how to make doubles more popular. So without further delay, enjoy this brief conversation with Will Bloomberg. Hey, everyone. We're here at the Dallas Open with Will Bloomberg. Will, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me.
So how has Dallas been so far?
It's been great. We had a good match last night. Didn't start so good. Mm-hmm. Lost the first set in like 20 minutes maybe, but quick conditions and even though the balls kind of get a little big, but balls are moving fast but really enjoying it and happy to play with my North Carolina teammate, Rinky Hijikata, so enjoying it.
Were there any adjustments y'all made after the first set to kind of turn it around? Yeah. I'll be honest, I wasn't here because there was only one doubles match yesterday, and I live like an hour away, so I didn't want to make the drive. But
I actually started returning on the ad side, and after the first set we switched, and I was on the deuce side, and he was on the ad side.
Oh wow!
So that was kind of a major adjustment for us.
Why did y'all make that adjustment? Because y'all played together before, so yeah, this isn't like a new partnership.
We just felt like we weren't really making many returns. I wasn't doing much on the ad side, and he wasn't making a ton on the deuce side. So we just switched to give him a new look and give us a new look, and we were able to just put more balls in the court and make them, you know, earn a few more points. So it was a good decision, I think.
Yeah, obviously so. So y'all went to a 10-point tiebreaker, you know, the 250s. We've got this shortened format. Do you have any advice for listeners with 10-point tiebreakers or kind of pressure situations or anything that you use to try to focus and kind of play your best in those situations?
Yeah, I think they're so tough. I mean, even for us, they're just so brutal. I think I just try to pick up my energy. That's one thing I can control is, you know, not being down or loose, or no matter how the last set went or how that, you know, whether you won or lost, just pick it up and fire with energy, because things can happen so quick. I mean, sometimes you look up and you're up 5-1, and sometimes you look up and somehow you're like 0-4 and you just don't know what happened. But all you have to do is just have good energy and have good focus, and you'll put yourself in the best chance to win. Doesn't mean that you will. You know, unfortunately, a lot of our matches are decided on these 2 or 3 point margins and in the end. But, you know, just pick your best spot. I don't think, you know, let the nerves, don't let the nerves get the best of you. Just, you know, continue to play on your plays and do the best you can, and you know, let the rest happen.
How do you pick up your energy? What do you do specifically?
I just think you make a point to pump yourself up more, bring more energy.
Like jump around match. A little
yeah,
bit?
Yeah, jump around, move around, get your partner going, you know, kind of pump each other up, you know, say, let's go, let's do this, you know, instead of kind of just moping around. I'm more quiet sometimes, so that's more of an effort for me, whereas some people are the opposite.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Okay. So a lot more kind of physical movement, staying on your toes, things like that. So today was an off day for you. You got to watch your partner play singles. What did the off day kind of look like as a whole? And then I want to dive into practice specifically.
Sure. So I woke up this morning at like 8 and I actually practiced at 9. I wanted to practice here at the main site. This year we're, you know, practice courts are at Dallas Country Club, match courts here. So I wanted to be able to hit here at the court. So I hit 9 to 10. So I came over here, hit 9 to 10, you know, warmed up, did some 2-up, 2 back to work on some volleys and backs. And then we played like some points. After practice, just stretched, walked back to the hotel. Then I actually went to, the George Bush presidential exhibit, just here and checked it out. I wanted to check it out. George W. Bush.
Yeah.
They have like a thing on the 9/11 memorial and different exhibits there, and so went there and then walked back over here, had some treatment, watched Rinky play, and now I'm here with you.
So practice, you said y'all did a little 2-up, 2 back. Who all was practicing with you?
It was me, Huntley Allen, and two of the guys from India that played versus Lamons and Withra this year.
Okay. Yeah.
Both good players. I wouldn't do it justice, and I might butcher their name, so I'll be respectful.
Yeah, Vijay Rashant, I believe, is one, and the other name I would also butcher. Yeah. I spoke with them after their first win.
Yeah,
and they looked really good. What else did y'all do in practice? I like to get into kind of the details.
So quite literally, we just hit up the middle. You know. Both guys, similar to a doubles practice or doubles warm up, wherever you are, just, you know, warm up down the line, volleys, overheads, you know, kind of an extended warm up for us, probably not as quick as 5 minutes, but 10 minutes or so. And then 2-up, 2 back is, you know, for those who don't know, it's just a game where you have 2 people up and 2 people back at the baseline, 2 people at the net. The net players feed in, first ball comes, you know, somewhere through you where you can volley, and then the point's open. So it's kind of a game that a lot of pros play to move around and be playing, but also kind of continue your warm up. So we play that to 21, switch every 5 points. So it's just a good game to, you know, start working on movement, seeing the ball, and then before you kind of take serves and then get into the point play.
And then what about for tomorrow? Do you watch the opponents that you're going to play, or do you feel like you've already scouted them? How does that work for you?
I've played, you know, respectively one player on each team. So I know them a little bit, but I'd love to hopefully try to watch some of their match today. I'm not sure if we play tomorrow. It's possible that we play Friday. So we'll see, you know, hopefully play tomorrow and, you know, can keep our momentum rolling, but it's also possible that we don't. So,
okay. So you'll try to go out there though and watch the match?
Try to watch them or try to watch online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know y'all's match yesterday was not available, at least on Tennis Channel Plus. Yeah. It wasn't, because I tried to pull it up from home and couldn't find it, but it looked like today they had a few cameras out there. So,
They have the matches. I'm not sure where they're streamed. You know, the ATP did a nice thing this year. I think the media rights changed, and so we can request the streams so we can watch our matches and you know, kind of analyze what we did right, what we did wrong. So that's a nice thing.
It is nice. That seems like something that should have been done a long time ago. How do you balance your schedule with ITF, ATP, managing partners? I was looking back through your your schedule last year.
Yeah.
And you played a lot of tournaments with a lot of different partners.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tricky. I actually, you can fact check me after this. I'm not exactly sure, but since after college, I'm not sure that I had to play any futures. I think I just went right into the challenger level and above.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's difficult. I mean, like for example, a tournament like this, I'm not sure what the cut was, maybe 180 or something or 160.
Mm-hmm.
But so you need to combine your ranking. For those at home who don't know or are unfamiliar, you can enter a tournament with a singles ranking or a doubles ranking. And you can enter singles or doubles doubles or singles doubles.
Mm-hmm.
So you get seated on your doubles ranking, but you can enter a certain way. So, you know, for me to want to play here, Rinky was nice enough to sign with me. Rinky's, you know, he still had his points from Australian Open when we signed here. So our combined was like 130 or something.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how it works. And now, you know, that's how you get into the event. So to get into different events and higher level events, you need to change partners, at least for me at my ranking, my level, until hopefully I can build my ranking up high mm-hmm. enough to play in this, you know, with the same partner.
So are you looking like 2 to 4 weeks ahead and just like kind of texting people and say, hey, do you mind
probably teaming up with me for this? Most times.
Okay.
Most times the sign in is 2 weeks before. So,
yeah.
You know, maybe a month or 6 weeks before, just kind of checking it out and saying, hey, you know, who's going to be here, or texting some guys, or even sometimes further out.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Do you know how many partners you played with last year?
I have no idea. I'll say, if I had to guess, 7.
It's more than that. So I've got Tiafoe, Ram, Kecmanovic, Purcell, Casper Ruud, Hijikata, Steve Johnson, Christian Harrison, Luis Martinez.
Yeah, what is that?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
9, yeah.
I may have missed a few as well.
Yeah.
I kind of gave up after a little while. So how do you adjust to playing with all these different partners? Is there kind of some questions that you ask before, like a new partnership, for example? And then
players like
Rinky you've played with before, so...
A couple of those names that you've listed, I actually have played. I played a fair bit of tournaments with Luis, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Stevie, we had played in the past, you know, in Newport together and Cincinnati. Rinky, you know, I obviously know. So a couple of them I had, you know, familiarity with already.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps. The ones that I hadn't, you know, you kind of just talk or you practice or people have preferences. You know, obviously a legendary player like Rajiv has, you know, his side or his preferences who I've watched and I've known.
Yeah.
So I can adjust a little bit more to that. But yeah, just competing. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, everyone's just player. Obviously you mesh better with other people, and those are the people that you tend to stick with, you know,
mm-hmm.
Kind of like really anything in life. But yeah, just trying to play all the best events I can and trying to be around the best players.
Do you have any specific goals in mind for 2024, or do you just kind of go with the flow and trust the process and just keep working hard?
I had a goal to work harder this offseason, get into better shape and just be stronger and quicker and mm-hmm. fitter. And I think I did a good job of that. I'm happy with the way I'm starting the year and playing, which is nice. I think that for me, I'm hovering around 100 again now. Mm-hmm. I'd love to get back, you know, it well inside top 100. I think that would be a great goal for me to, you know, I think my career high is 74 or 73, something like that. So
mm-hmm.
I'd like to break that, you know, and be pushing higher and be in the better events and kind of have a more stable schedule, I think would be a nice goal for the end of this year.
Sure. So a lot of the listeners are kind of club level doubles players. And this past month, we've been focused on net play strategy. So do you have any tips for club players who maybe don't have a lot of confidence at the net or struggle a little bit at the net?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, like my fiance now, she's good at tennis, but just plays for fun. And like, mm-hmm. we live in Atlanta in this Alta team.
Yeah.
And they'll ask me, you know, what do you think sometimes? And I'm more quiet, but I always tell her, I'm like, just take away the middle. Like,
yeah.
And my mom too, she'll play in, you know, and some, and I never understand why people just squat down in the alley. and I just tell them, hey, go towards the middle. Who cares if someone beats you? Or yeah. I think sometimes they're afraid of the ball.
But yeah, that's the number one thing I would say is take away the middle, take away the big percentage play for people and make people beat you on a lob or a down the line shot. Mm-hmm. And especially I like, you know, it's not meant to be more serious than it is, you know? So I think that's the side of it is you're not going to be out there really like running plays in a for fun doubles match. But if they were, I'd love to see people serve and people move and take the middle way more than they do. I think people are just happy just kind of sitting.
I think the people that listen to this show are the people who are running plays at the club level because they're really interested in the strategy. That's why they listen.
They should. I would say, for me, I love taking away middle. You serve body.
Yeah.
I mean, even another level of that, the people that care are, you know, you choose whether you're serving body forehand or body backhand.
Sure.
That's an important piece. You don't just say, you know, I'm serving body and then you give someone a backhand. If you'd serve, you know, body backhand and you took middle, it's more likely that they'll pull the ball line than they would push it inside out.
In
the deuce court. And opposite on the other way. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, call your plays if you are to those specific strategies or call plays to percentage. I don't know if they like to play I position, but if you play I and you serve I, T and move left, you know, if you can shield your I position a little right and make it look like the line is open. And if I'm not making sense, tell me.
No.
And then go back to where that position is. A lot of the times you'll end up with a volley. So
yeah,
I think just things to work on with your partner and in practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Almost like a fake out of the I formation.
Totally.
So last question for you, and then I'll let you go. How do we make doubles more popular?
That's a great question. I mean, I think in all, you know, honesty, I think doubles is a great product. I think the more we can get, you know, singles players and big names playing doubles, I think that's great. Just bringing attention to the game. Mm-hmm. It's very short. I mean, our match yesterday was 3 sets in an hour and 5 minutes or something. So the length of it is no problem. Just bringing awareness, getting the people that people want to watch, honestly, in. And I think a lot of club players love doubles. And I think they come and watch and play doubles. Obviously, just expanding it to the average fan or the average person who wants to watch a big name play, I think would be great. But I think the Masters, you know, 1000s do a good job. Sometimes they play in Grand Slams and some other tournaments. But just get people around the game. I think people coming to events like this and seeing how fun it is and how fun of a product it is to watch, I think is how we will.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Will, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank you.
It was a lot of fun.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Doubles Only podcast. If you're interested in diving deeper into any topics I discuss, I've created double strategy products that allow me to bring you more podcasts and other doubles content without relying on paid ads. I have ebooks and courses that help you make better strategic decisions during matches and become the smartest player on the court. Go to thetennistribe.com/products to learn more. You can also join my free weekly double strategy newsletter that includes video lessons and more on our homepage. If you want to connect, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, or email me directly, will@thetennistribe.com.